You're tuned in to the Kojo Namdi Show on WAMU 88.5. I'm Matt McCleskey, the local host of Morning Edition here on WAMU, sitting in today for Kojo. Later in the broadcast, a falafel business in Georgetown that's helping refugees. But first, the city of Rockville earlier this week banned smoking in outdoor dining areas and restaurants and bars, becoming the second jurisdiction in Maryland to do so and the largest. Vaping and e-cigarettes are included in that regulation. Smoke-free advocates are cheering the move, but some local business owners aren't so happy about it. We'll hear from a couple of them in just a moment, and you can take part in the conversation this hour by calling us, 800-433-8850. You can also send us an email, kojo@wamu.org, or tweet at Kojo Show. Joining me now to start the conversation is Adam Zimmerman, a smoke-free advocate from Rockville. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Well, you were the advocate behind this push to have the Rockville smoking ban in outdoor areas of restaurants put in place. What's the idea behind it?
Sure. The idea behind it is to make sure that kids and families have clean air to breathe in our city. There's so many great things that Rockville has to offer, whether it's restaurants, whether it's activities to do. And this just makes it even better. As you mentioned, we're the largest municipality in the D.C. region, as well as in Maryland, to pass a law to this effect. And to all of the great reasons we have for living in and visiting in Rockville, we can now add one more.
Well, you helped to get the Rockville Council to ban smoking at parks and rec centers, other city-owned facilities a couple of years ago. How did you get involved in this kind of advocacy?
So for me, it all started with my kids. We live walking distance from Rockville Town Square, and anybody who's been there knows that there's all sorts of great things for kids and families to do there. But one of the downsides for me, and you notice it particularly as a parent when you've got a young kid with you, the prevalence of smoke and cigarettes in and around those areas. And so for me, wanting to ensure that my kids were growing up and going to places where they could breathe in clean air and not have that exposure. So that's how it all got started for me.
Now, in terms of the new ban, we are talking about outdoor dining areas and bar patios, and that may surprise some people. Is there research on the effects of secondhand smoke outdoors versus indoors?
Yeah, there's a growing body of research that shows that exposure to secondhand smoke outdoors, particularly when you're in close proximity to it, can have just the same level in terms of negative health effects as coming from indoor secondhand smoke exposure. So that's why we're seeing a growing list of states and cities and counties across the country that are putting smoke-free outdoor dining laws on the books. Four states have done so, more than 250 municipalities across the country, and I'm thrilled that we can add Rockville to the list.
And Rockville, the latest, also the largest jurisdiction in Maryland to do so. In our immediate area, though, it's not the first to put smoke-free outdoor dining and drinking into law. Where else bans smoking outside in bars and restaurants?
So La Plata, Maryland, was the first city in our state to do that a couple of years ago. Much smaller than Rockville in terms of population size, but I give them all the credit in the world. Someone has to be first. It's always tough to be that first, you know, city to take that bold of a step, but they did it. It's worked out well. And I'm hopeful and confident that we're going to see the same sorts of positive outcomes that have been seen, again, in places across the country that have done this, where smoke-free air laws, particularly for dining establishments, is both good for health as well as good for the businesses of those places.
Now, this ban also includes e-cigarettes and hookahs. Wasn't vaping supposed to be the smoke-free alternative to tobacco?
So there's a growing body of evidence showing that the potential health impacts of vaping and electronic cigarettes is potentially problematic. E-cigarettes contain nicotine just as regular tobacco products do. There are a number of other toxic chemicals within the smoke that's both inhaled and potentially for exposure secondhand as well. So to me, it's important to be proactive about vaping. And for all the same reasons that we want to make sure that kids don't get hooked on nicotine products early or tobacco products early, if we can be proactive on the e-cigarette front in ways that we perhaps weren't when it came to cigarettes so many years ago, I think that's good for the health of kids.
We're talking this hour on the Kojo Namdi Show here on WAMU about a new ban put in place by the City Council in Rockville, Maryland, banning smoking in outdoor dining areas of restaurants and bars. You can join the conversation. Give us a call. The number is 800-433-8850, or you can send an email to kojo@wamu.org. Want now to bring into the conversation a restaurant owner from Rockville, Sudhir Seth. He's the owner and chef at Spice Crossing in Rockville, joining us by telephone. Mr. Seth, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Matt. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Seth.
Now, you spoke out at the public hearing against the ban. What are your concerns about banning smoking in outdoor areas of bars and restaurants?
Well, Matt, I'm totally in accordance with the spirit of the ordinance that ATM is putting forward and has been enacted now. My major concern is the businesses in the Rockville Town Square area, which offers a great diversity in dining over there. Food from all parts of the world is served over there, and it's a great place for kids to come, the families to come with their kids. The fact remains that drinking and smoking, kind of a thing, it goes on together. We have a lot of bars over there, four to be precise, big ones, and the concerns are that they draw in a lot of people. My restaurant in particular does not have that much of a patio seating to start with, or that many smokers coming in, but in general, businesses coming in, customers coming in for all the other four bars which are coming. Eventually, they are potential customers to everybody, which is going to drive them away from the city of Rockville to anywhere else.
So you think the ban could hurt business overall for all the restaurants and bars in that area?
Right, especially the way it is being enacted. I mean, even in the airports, etc., there are sections designated for smoking. Why not we start with that? I mean, I'm a one-time smoker who has quit now. I totally understand smoking is bad, but this seems to be some kind of overreach by administration, by the government. And I really don't see how have we really done enough study about it as to what the consequences are going to be commercially, financially for other businesses in the area. And even the study that we are talking about, next thing we know that we would be banning cars driving past, which I think will have an equal amount of pollutant effect if you are doing a patio dining right next to the road, like right in front of my restaurant too.
Well, Adam Zimmerman, just one moment. Adam Zimmerman, how do you respond to that question of whether or not it could affect business?
Sure. So there's been a growing body of evidence over the past several years that has looked specifically at the economic impact of smoke-free dining laws and what the effect has been on businesses' bottom lines. And the overwhelming conclusion from those studies is that, at a minimum, these sorts of laws do no harm. And even better than that, oftentimes we see positive economic impact with respect to increased sales, with respect to increase in employment and employee productivity. I'm a former server at a restaurant. I know what it's like to wait tables when we're breathing in that smoke constantly, whether indoor or outdoor. And I know how it makes me feel at the end of my shift. And when you multiply that by so many shifts over so many weeks, it really adds up. So, for instance, just recently, at the end of 2016, the National Cancer Institute and the World Health Organization did an extensive review of the economic literature around smoke-free dining laws with respect to restaurants and other dining establishments. And their conclusion, and I quote, "The evidence clearly demonstrates that smoke-free policies do not cause adverse economic outcomes for businesses, including restaurants and bars. In fact, smoke-free policies often have a positive economic impact on businesses." And those findings have been replicated in small studies, taking a look at individual cities and counties and states that have put laws of this kind on the books. And when you look at the whole body of research, as well as everything that Rockville has to offer, when you put those two things together, I think we're going to find that restaurants like Spice Crossing are going to come out of this okay.
I want to turn to one of our callers now, Marvin, calling, who owns a cafe and market in Rockville. Marvin, you're on the air. You also, as I understand, have some concerns regarding the new ban. What are they?
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you, and thanks for being on the program.
Sure, of course. I mean, I was kind of go off of, I guess, Spice Cross, I think that's what it's called. It just comes off that it's like they're trying to regulate every little bit. And if they want to continue to regulate everything, they can go the route of eating like fast food restaurants. We all know that's really bad for you. They should start regulating that as well. It's the point that you're trying to regulate small businesses when they really should be just, as parents, should be teaching our kids not to go around smoke. Us as parents should be teaching our kids smoking is bad for you. Don't go the route of basically trying to regulate small businesses when really the strong point is us as parents should be teaching our kids these things. You're basically trying to nitpick small things and make City of Rockville become like a nanny state.
Well, tell us, what is your business there in Rockville?
It's a small market with a cafe and as well as a small patio also for smoking if people want to smoke as well.
And you feel that you'll be impacted directly by the ban?
Oh, we definitely will be affected directly. As you don't know, City of Rockville, if you go down Rockville Pike, you see stores all closing down one by one. And those stores are mom-and-pop shops. We're not a franchise to basically get money from one store and put it to another store. We don't have that luxury. As me, as a son for my family, I help there for free. I have my own job. I have my own work, but I go there to help out because I know they don't have that staff to come there and pay the extra amount of money. That little bit of extra income that comes in from fuel, smoke, and eating helps that a small mom-and-pop shop. They've been in business for 18 years. So for them to say the route of, oh, it doesn't affect them, it does affect them. Well, it affects them in a way that can reduce the income.
Adam Zimmerman, I want to turn to you with this question around the nanny state. We've received a couple of tweets on this as well, people saying it's the nanny state in full view or overreach by government. How do you respond to that critique?
So the first thing I say is that my two kids call my mom nanny. So in our house, the word nanny has a lot of positive connotations. So it's always a little jarring to hear it with negative connotations when it comes to the term nanny state. But here's what I would say. As a parent of two young kids and as an advocate, I want to live in a community that puts the health of children and families first. And I think Rockville is clearly demonstrating that with this step. Due respect to Marvin, this is not a small thing. According to statistics from Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, there are nearly 300,000 kids alive today just in the state of Maryland who will become smokers, and 92,000 of them will die from smoking. As a parent, as an advocate, to me, that's unacceptable. We need to do everything we can to drive those numbers down and ensure that kids don't get involved with tobacco products from a young age. And there's a lot we can do to make that happen, all sorts of things. And I think parents teaching their children in terms of those values and those moral judgments, absolutely, that's a big part of the equation. But there's other parts to the equation, too. And smoke-free air laws have been shown to drive down exposure to secondhand smoke. They've been shown to be good for business. They've even been shown to help smokers, the vast majority of whom want to quit, help them do so. So I think it's good for everybody involved, and especially in terms of making sure that kids are growing up healthy in our communities.
We heard Marvin say that he thinks it's up to parents to teach kids about some of the dangers of smoking. Also, Sadir Seth, the owner of Spice Crossing there in Rockville, you earlier said you agree in principle, I believe you said, with the idea of reducing smoking, but said the ban is not the way, in your view, to do that. I'd like to bring you back into the conversation. What would you prefer to see instead of a regulation banning smoking?
Like I said, number one, let's start designated areas where smokers who want to, adults, let's start living everybody else's life. Let's not start teaching people how to live their lives. They're all adults. Next thing would be that we will be, can we really stop people from going to bars? I think there are a lot of accidents happening because of drunken driving too. And we already have the laws in effect for those things. Let's make this thing more voluntary. Let's make people more educated. Like, that's exactly what I meant. I am a proud grandfather of two small kids. I definitely, if I have to take them, I will not take them to any place. I definitely would not be taking them to a bar, nor would I take them to an area where there is smoke. I'm totally with Adam on that. But then it is left up to us as parents and grandparents and counselors and people who guide the kids to make them aware where they can go, where they cannot go, and why not have just designated areas wherever there are bars? And I think there has already been a largely, thanks to people like Adam, I'm sure there's a lot of awareness brought into the society. When I used to be smoking too, and I would be passing by and there is some kid, I would definitely try to hide the cigarette, not just spew smoke out from my mouth. And obviously, in principle, I'm totally with the thing, but let's not do this government overreach, over-regulation kind of a thing when there are so many other things that still need to be done and we are running around. And the next thing would be there would be some kind of a monitoring force for the thing. So after all this is going from our taxes. And if it is going to, this is going to be a double whammy. Our taxes are going to work for something which really is not going to be as much of an effect on the general health. Why not put that same money into education purposes? And if it is going to drive businesses, some business away from any of us, like what Marvin and I are saying, and so are a lot of other of my merchants, right, who are my neighbors in Rockville Town Square, most of them are of the same opinion. Let's have designated areas. Let's not put a blanket ban on outdoor smoking outside.
We got a tweet from Percy, who has a bit of a different point of view there. He says, why should the rest of the public be forced to smoke when smokers do? He says it's poisonous to the non-smoker who's forced to breathe that smoke. We are talking about the new smoking ban in Rockville for outdoor areas of bars and restaurants this hour on the Kojo Namdi Show. I'm Matt McCleskey filling in today for Kojo. We're going to take a short break, but we'll get back to some of your calls in just a moment on the program. Are you a smoker? What do you think of smoking bans in public places? Let us know. You can email kojo@wamu.org or tweet us at Kojo Show. The phone number is 800-433-8850. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This month at WAMU, we're lifting our voices to shine a light on Black changemakers throughout American history. Some you know and some you don't, but they all change the world. Go to WAMU.org/lift every voice to learn the stories of these incredible African-American changemakers and to hear special interviews spotlighting those who have impacted the arts, sciences, sports, and activism. Go to WAMU.org/lift every voice.
Welcome back to the Kojo Namdi Show on WAMU 88.5. I'm Matt McCleskey sitting in today for Kojo, and we're talking about the new smoking ban in outdoor areas of bars and restaurants in Rockville, Maryland. Thanks for being with us this hour. I want to go back to the phones now and briefly back to Marvin, who we heard from a little bit earlier. He owns a cafe and market in Rockville. And Marvin, I believe you've been involved in putting together a petition to the city council who put in place this ban, saying you don't think they took public opinion into account. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I believe when they first kind of discussed this, the meeting was, it was March 21st or 23rd or whatnot. And they said that it was going to be a week later that they're going to take the final, opinions of people and of the public. So within that 1 week, I actually had close to, or if not a little over 200 people sign a petition. And that's a small amount of time. So it doesn't seem like they're actually an opinion of the public, because they said that they would actually ask the opinion what they think, but I don't think they really asked the public. And that's what's kind of bothersome, is do we really have a voice in our city? Because it seems like just like whatever they feel like, they just want to ask, they want to say that they're going to ask the public, but really at the end they're going to do what they want.
Well, do you feel like you've been able to make your voice heard to any of the members of the city council?
No, not whatsoever. Because I mean, I don't know if anybody else on the other side, when they were for the ban, were there that many people actually did a petition for it, or were there that many people actually were for the ban? I have no idea.
Well,
I had about 200 people that were at a petition that signed just that we're against the ban.
Well, Adam Zimmerman is a smoke-free advocate in Rockville, and he was behind the push to get the ban before the city council. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came to be?
Sure. So for me, it all started with an email about 4 years ago to the city council suggesting that we might try to find some ways to make Rockville Town Square have some smoke-free air protections. It built from there. 2015, we got the vote from the council extending smoke-free air protections to more than 80 parks and rec centers, city facilities across Rockville. For this particular ordinance, we had endorsements from leading national and state health organizations, including the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network, the American Heart Association, the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, the March of Dimes, Americans for Non-Smokers' Rights, a state group, Maryland Group Against Smokers Pollution, that has 1,000 members just by themselves across the state. With respect to the public hearing that the council held, a number of folks both within Rockville and outside of Rockville weighed in suggesting that they would view this positively. We even had folks write into that public hearing who were saying, we don't live in Rockville, but if you pass this, we're more likely to make the trip to come eat at one of your establishments because you've put this law on the books. So given the wide amount of endorsements that we had from leading health organizations in the state and across the country, the strong positive response that we got from individual citizens in and around Rockville, the months that the council spent discussing this, debating this, opening up a hearing for the public, et cetera, there is, I think, strong consensus within the city that this is the right thing to do. And it was reflected in terms of us having 4 of the 5 members of the council vote yes.
Thanks. And I want to bring some other folks on the phone line into the conversation. Thank you, Marvin, for your contribution. Let's go to Mary now, calling from Washington. Mary, you're on the air. Go ahead on this question of the nanny state.
Oh, yeah. Hi. I think one of your people who tweeted in sort of addressed what I was going to say, but I think that people who are complaining that this is making us into a nanny state are sort of missing the point. I think people have a right to do whatever they want to. If you want to smoke, go ahead and smoke, but your rights stop when you start negatively affecting people around you. And I don't want my kids breathing in someone else's smoke. And if you want to smoke, just do it in a place where you're not going to affect other people who don't want to smoke. And my second comment was that I hope all these people who are against smoking start getting on the anti-air freshener bandwagon, because I really think indoor air quality is terrible. And air freshener, not only does it smell really bad, but it's bad for kids who have asthma. And it's everywhere today. It's in stores. It's even in schools. And I'm hoping that once we get rid of smoking in all our public areas, people start focusing on air freshener. So that's my comment.
Sounds like a related yet separate, perhaps separate program on a related topic. Thank you for your call, Mary. Adam Zimmerman, now one of the questions that's come up from some business owners in Rockville says, you know, people are going to go outside the jurisdiction. They're going to go someplace else that doesn't have this same ban in place. But you're looking potentially to expand this more broadly to Montgomery County. What is the status of that effort?
Sure. So Monday evening, the Rockville City Council passed this ordinance. Last night, I sent my first email to the members of the County Council urging them to pass something similar. Rockville's got about 66,000 people, Montgomery County, nearly 1 million. So if we can start building out the base here in terms of the number of folks who are protected by smoke-free air laws, it's to the benefit of not only the folks who live here, but also the folks who come. There are more than 6 million people in the D.C. metro area. In my view, every one of them is a potential customer for a Rockville dining establishment, for a Montgomery County dining establishment. And if we can show that these smoke-free air protections are good for business, are good for health, as has been demonstrated in places across the country, that's going to bring more people here in terms of taking advantage of what we have to offer, not driving people away.
Let's go back to the phones now. Julia calling from Rockville. Julia, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I hear a lot of the opposition kind of making the connection between like the night scene and drinking and smoking and how sometimes that goes hand in hand. But as a mother of young kids, this really affects me when I'm taking my daughter out to brunch on Saturday and we go sit at an outdoor cafe on beautiful May day and there's a smoker there and I say to her, let's go somewhere else. Or, you know, we're going somewhere for an early dinner and there's, you know, a lot of smoking going on in a certain area of where we would be seated and we decide to go somewhere else. So as much as I think that, you know, there's a way to look at this from the kind of going out scene, that night scene, it's really also to look at it from a broader perspective of every time we go out to dine. And I also just want to echo what your caller Mary just said was, you know, we're protecting the right to choose, not just for smokers, but the people who decide that they don't want to smoke. And clearly that's for me and also my children. So I'm very supportive of this stand.
Thanks, Julia, for your call. Let's turn now to Jonathan, also calling from Rockville. Jonathan, what's your perspective on the new ban against smoking in outdoor dining areas at bars and restaurants?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Just wanted to say, basically echo what the previous caller had said. I also take my kids. I live in Rockville, and we take our six-year-olds. And same thing, we try to avoid certain areas because of the outdoor smoking. So kudos to you, Adam. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
Really do appreciate it.
Well, thanks for your call, Jonathan. I'd like to turn back to Sadhir Seth, the owner and chef at Spice Crossing in Rockville, Maryland. When you hear folks like Julia or Jonathan saying that they might frequent a restaurant more because of the ban being in place, does that give you any positive feeling moving ahead?
Like I said right at the outset, I'm totally for the ordinance, not the way it is going to be enacted eventually. Why not we provide a space for these smokers so that Julia and Jonathan, they can bring their kids to Spice Crossing and all the other restaurants around over there. So that way, there has to be, we have to find a peaceful situation rather than having an aggravated situation and also without adversely affecting any businesses around. If I were to be just continuing to smoke today, I go to a bar, I feel like having a smoke, I have a very comfortable walking 50 feet down to an area which is designated slightly away from patio where the patio seating of any restaurant or of the same very bar that I'm at. And if it is raining and snowing hard, maybe I would not go. Maybe eventually kill my urge to smoke, you will have another non-smoker. Why not go about it that way? That route would be a much more better thing rather than... I also read somewhere that there's, the city is still deciding as to what is going to be the fine imposed. Mm-hmm. So that means there's going to be some kind of a monitoring going on, more paperwork, more administrative work, all this money coming out of the taxes after all. I'm sure there are better ways to put this tax dollars to work and to educate the people also. I'm all for, with Adam as far as, no, not with Adam on this particular ordinance, but in general, I'm against smoking, period. But at the same time, if it comes at the cost, I have 17 employees. If my business starts to slide down and down, I'm sure there are going to be more people who are going to be without a job eventually. And right now, I do not think it is a very, very conclusive thing that we would be able to draw 6 million people from around part of that, at least towards Rockville, just because we are making it a smoke-free zone, so to say. Because the smokers are definitely going to stop coming over there. So let's see both sides of the story. As much as I'm with Julia and Jonathan, I think, who was here. Yeah, definitely. Let's create smoke-free areas within Rockville where smokers can go, wherever their areas are, and that's perfectly fine with me, and I'm all on board with that particular solution.
Let's go back to the phone lines now and go to Mark calling from Durwood in Maryland. Mark, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm an ex-smoker, and although I do occasionally vape, although not very much, but I have to tell you, I'm really annoyed at this legislation. I mean, one of the things I see it's doing is I see it setting up a cultural divide in our society, where basically we're saying, one segment of society is saying, we don't care to interact with you anymore. Because as a practical matter, when smokers can't smoke, they don't go to bars. And, you know, and as a result, you know, we have these conundrums where people don't understand people in West Virginia. The reason we don't understand people in West Virginia is, we say that we reject your cultural values and your norms. I mean, and this notion of saying, you know, oh, let's do it for the children is really, I think, a cop out. I mean, I think if they did what they do in Spain, where restaurants in Spain, they turn around and they declare their institution, their restaurant, they say we're either a smoke restaurant or a smoke-free restaurant, and people make a decision. Where do I want to go? That's what I'd like to see.
Mark, let me ask you a question. One of our earlier callers said that the freedom to smoke ends as soon as that smoke goes across to my table and gets on my clothes and in my hair. What do you make of that? Is it someone who does want to be able to eat out and not have to have smoke filtering over to their table from the table next door?
Well, you know, I think there's something like 800 or 900 restaurants in Montgomery County. And I think of those numbers, or beg your pardon, there was like 1,200 restaurants in Montgomery County, and 800 of them didn't allow smoking. I mean, the vast majority of restaurants, didn't allow smoking in Montgomery County. Go to the restaurant next door. I mean, that's not a huge inconvenience. Every single nuisance in life can't be legislated. And by the way, I actually think that what we're saying, by the way, I'm a Democrat who supports most Democratic positions, but I think what's going on with the anti-smoker groups, I see them the equivalent of Pat Robinson, people who just shove things down people's throats and say, we're doing it because it's good for your health and good for your soul. And to me, it's just the left-hand side of the right.
All right, Mark from Durwood, thanks so much for your call. Thanks for calling into the program. Adam Zimmerman, where do you come down on this issue of freedom?
So as a parent, and I keep coming back to this because it's been the driving force since the day I started doing this, I want my kids to grow up in a place that prioritizes their health, number one. The smoke-free air protections that were established in city parks in 2015. That took effect on March 1st, 2016, almost 15 months ago to the day. I recently got in touch with the City Parks Department and just said, hey, out of curiosity, any complaints from residents in terms of having that new policy on the books? Not one. Not one. And the reason, I think, is because things like that become a part of a fabric of a community. In the same way that many of us now, when we go into a restaurant indoors, we come in with the expectation that there won't be any smoke anymore because that's the norm that's been established over these past several years in our area. I think people should have the same expectation when they're eating on an outdoor patio as they do in an indoor booth, that that establishment will have smoke-free air. If it's good for indoors, it's good for outdoors. That's what the science tells us. That's what folks are overwhelmingly hoping for, I think, just in terms of the numbers of smokers that has declined over the past several decades. Here in the D.C. area, more than 80% of adults across Maryland, D.C., and Virginia do not smoke. In Montgomery County, it's even higher, about 91%. So we're starting with an overwhelming base of non-smokers, which is good. And then when you add to that the fact that smokers want to quit and smoke-free air laws help, when you add to that that it's good for businesses and other dining establishments, when you add to that that kids will grow up in a place where they know that the community is putting their health first, you put all of those things together, and it's to the benefit of everybody.
Well, I think we'll leave it there for today on the program, a conversation certainly that can continue, though, into the future. We've been talking about the new smoking ban for outdoor areas of bars and restaurants in Rockville, Maryland. Joining me in studio, Adam Zimmerman, a smoke-free advocate from Rockville who has been working in favor of that ban. Also, thanks to Sadir Seth, the owner and chef at Spice Crossing in Rockville, who joined us by phone. Ahead on the program, we'll be talking about a falafel business in Georgetown that's helping refugees. I'm Matt McCleskey, sitting in for Kodjo Namdi today. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to the Kodjo Namdi Show. And if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at WAMU.org. Just click the donate button. And thanks.